Lake Effect Weekend returns on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for joining us. Knickknacks, tchotchkes, collectibles, whatever you want to call them, there are indeed objects we love to collect. And while today our obsessions may get us the label of hoarder, centuries ago these collections were signs of wealth and aesthetic sophistication. Of course, the prized objects also tended to be made less of plastic and porcelain and more of animal, vegetable, and mineral. And they had a better name for those pieces, too. They called them curiosities. A permanent exhibit at the Milwaukee Art Museum called Loca Miraculi, Rooms of Wonder, features a modern incarnation of these collections. Located on the lower level of the museum and curated by the Chipstone Foundation, the exhibit is the work of Madison artist Martha Glowacki. Lake Effect contributor and It's a Material World curator Jennifer Fields recently had a chance to chat with Glowacki and to see her work.
In the 16th century, wealthy merchants of the Renaissance collected objects from all over the world and stored them in unique places. Called cabinets of curiosity, these spaces served to show the wealth of the collector. This was before public museums, so they also exposed people to a world they would never get to experience for themselves. Imagine the entire pre-Columbian collection of the Milwaukee Art Museum housed in, I don't know, the Pabst Mansion. It's like that. Madison artist Martha Glowacki is also a collector of objects. Her work looks like a page from a 16th century scientific journal brought to life. Her sculptures are a mix of Victorian cabinetry, scientific glassware, and taxidermy. Walking into her permanent collection and the Milwaukee Art Museum's American Gallery is like stepping back in time. Glowacki combines the discipline of science with the aesthetics of art to create haunting beauty.
Most cabinet collections looked at the world as being divided into three kingdoms. And, you know, this was in the 17th, 18th, 19th century, even probably into the 20th century. You had the animal, the vegetable, and the mineral kingdom. And so I chose three cabinets, and around each cabinet, one cabinet is filled with mineral specimens and shells. And that is reflective of the kinds of things you'd collect in a cabinet or a cabinet of curiosities collection. And the animal cabinet, which is my favorite, it's a high boy, so it's got tall legs and it's got a display shelves up on the top. And there is a deer that's kind of peering around the side of the cabinet who is graphited. And the deer is a hermaphrodite. And hermaphrodites, sports of nature as they call them, in cabinet collections, were really sought after. So that's why the deer is there, but all the rest of the animals are birds. And I chose the birds because I wanted to show all these glorious species that you would see in nature. And I was able to collect enough birds, either from other collections or roadkill, I'm sorry to say, but the birds that I could pick up and use. In the history of cabinets of curiosities, one of the things I've always loved is that with some of the early cabinet collections, you would have a grand house in Italy or France or wherever, and you would have the person's collection displayed in cabinets in a room, but then you might go out into a garden, and the garden was also considered an extension of that cabinet. So the idea of a cabinet is really quite fluid. I grew up outside of Milwaukee in a rural area, and I had this marvelous childhood where I could come home from school, I could go down in the prairie fields in the woods. I was an avid collector, you know, I collected beetles, and I had toads and snakes, little Tom girl things, you know, and also collected bones. So I had a whole collection of cow bones. And one of my girlfriends, Kathy, who became a veterinarian, she did something sensible with her interest in cow bones. But we were going to put together a cow skeleton. And interestingly enough, we went into Kathy's basement. She had an old Victorian china cabinet that was in the family. We put all the bones in the cabinet. And I think about that now and think, how strange is this? What a coincidence. And so in a way, I feel like as an artist who's been working for a long period of time, I've returned to all this, sort of my best 8-9-year-old self and my interest as a child, and now I can just let it rip. When I was a graduate student, I was very poor. I had work study, which meant I got a great job working at the Historical Society Museum in their collections, and I worked there for 2 years. You know, that had a pretty profound lasting effect on me, because what I did was I researched objects that were coming in. And, you know, I was a student in art. I was no expert at this, but I got to do this research and to try to figure out, okay, what is this? And I was working in the area of domestic objects and tools and weapons, which I didn't do any research on, and then sort of odd things. But I was working with the settlers that were coming in starting in the 1830s, 40s. And so it's all this 19th century stuff and early 20th century stuff at that point. So I got really, really interested in it. And I use a lot of found materials. I also have a lot of tool skills, so I can make things that I want to make that look like they might be a historic object. I pick up rocks and twigs and, you know, bones and all those sorts of things. And somehow, to integrate those all together, I want to create some confusion about who made this, when did they make this, what is this all about, what's old, what's new. Yeah, so I really deliberately blur those lines. I like to do that. I look for things where the form or the, you know, something about the object really arouses my curiosity, or I think it's beautiful, or I think it's kind of got a ugly beauty, if I can say that. You know, something, there's got to be something that really arouses a feeling. I live in an area, a rural area here, where there's really great places to walk. And I find a lot of materials walking and think, boy, I could really do something with this. So in the, you know, in the spring, when the snow's melted, before the grass really comes up, that's the time you go look for bones, because that's when you're going to find them. And going out and hunting for stuff is really, it's a really good thinking time for me. And it's also relaxation, I think. You know, if everything else in my life is just getting to me, I can say, okay, I'm just taking off today. I'm going to go to the salvage yard or whatever. And I can call that work, because it is. And makes me feel good about everything.
Lake Effect contributor Jennifer Fields produces and curates the series It's a Material World. That project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts. Fields introduced us to Madison artist Martha Glowacki. Glowacki is a curator for the Wisconsin Academy of Sciences, Arts, and Letters, and her permanent exhibition in the Milwaukee Art Museum's American Gallery is called Loca Miraculi, Rooms of Wonder. Coming up next, we'll revisit an essay from Lake Effect contributor Peggy Hong on the issue of white supremacy. Lake Effect Weekend returns in just a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio.